Under the skin.
Hello and welcome to Under the Scales. Right now, I'm a little bit north of where I normally am in Princeton, New Jersey. I'm in Raritan, New Jersey, in a great studio called Sonic Boom Studios. I kind of feel like I'm home here because I'm with my pal Anthony Crizon, who was my guitarist in Amphibian for years and years and years, and he's one of the two or three people I really love writing songs with and really write well. How are you, Anthony?
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here. Pleasure to
be talking about some stuff. Yeah, I'm glad to be here, actually. This is your place, and I love this studio. I do feel home here. And
the studio misses you.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is too early to say, but you and I are really talking about coming out with another album.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to promise that, though.
Well, I'm ready to do as much as you are, because it's always a pleasure and joy to write. We have a good time when we do it, and it comes out quick and natural.
Absolutely. We released Skip the Goodbyes in 2007, and that was all pretty much recorded here, and we had a phenomenal time doing it.
That was a good time. We cut that on the tape machine, actually. We used my Studer tape machine over there.
Oh, yeah.
And we transferred to digital, which is the best of the audio world, I think, you know, because you have the sonics of the analog.
Right.
And then the digital, you know, getting the mix on digital with all the, you know, getting to use technology for the edits and everything else, you know.
Yeah, so. And that's how Phish likes to do their stuff. So when you see the footage of, you know, old bands, The Who or Beatles in the studio, there's always this really thick tape running through a German tape machine. And, you know, this day and age, you don't need to have mechanical tape stuff, and that's hard to keep running, and it's expensive to pay for tape, and everyone uses computers now. So it was kind of a little bit expensive decision, I guess, or a risky decision, but it came out sounding great. So the album we're talking about, of course, is Skip the Goodbyes.
Yeah.
And that song, I think everyone knows Trey eventually played a solo on and played background guitar on.
Yeah, he played some great guitar, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm not great with goodbyes much anyhow. Circle, sun and sky, the ground is old, I lose control. Circle, the tide comes in, the grass and trees, I'm on my knees. Circle, the storm is near. You skip the goodbyes, I'm down. Well, anyway, maybe we're announcing that we are going to do another album. Maybe we're not. But really, the purpose of this podcast is, I'm calling the podcast A Tale of Two Songs. And I thought I would sort of shed light on the writing and the recording process for my Under the Scales audience. It's something that kind of comes naturally to me and Trey, and of course me and Anthony, and it's not really something that we find ourselves pointing out to people. They sort of just listen to the final song and maybe don't know everything that goes into it. So there's a whole lot of components, there's a whole lot of decisions, and so the first song that we're going to talk about is a song called Throw Your Line. And Anthony wound up putting this on his new album, which just came out, right, Ant?
Yeah.
What's that one called?
Dust and Bone is the title track.
Dust and Bone, yeah. So that was largely written when I was in Atlanta. So I was sort of missing songwriting with Anthony, came back, and Anthony had sent me this early demo. And let's listen to it now. Show. Come down to a place to know. So as you can hear, there's already kind of the hint of a percussion track, which Anthony, that's not an actual person playing. Anthony assembled that using electronically on the computer. But what is real, obviously, are your two guitar tracks, right?
Yeah, I ended up, I used like a loop as a sketch, and I found like a percussive, almost like a Brazilian percussion thing, and it just triggered this weird guitar thing, and I was just kind of putting down a quick rough, which ended up being the Keeper guitar with this old 63 Guild Bluesbird I have, which is I think Tom Waits uses one, but it's a rare, you don't see too many of them. It's like a small hollow body with F holes on it. But I just decided, because I was going to use a Dobro, and I decided, let me try the Guild because it's electric, but it's also acoustic. So I mic'd up the F hole and I went through an amp and I used them both, and it's just got this really cool sound. And, you know, sometimes you just throw it on something quick and you don't really worry about making it perfect. But then it's hard to go back and get that sound again if you change things in the studio. So I said, I put down a few takes and I ended up just saying, it just had such a cool vibe that
it
just
really
said,
does.
Man, it's just so cool. I don't even think I could play this again and get the same thing. So I kept it.
It really does. Something about that Brazilian rhythm track got you kind of playing that pattern. Are you finger picking there?
I was finger picking. It's a weird pattern because I don't even know. Where that came from, I was just messing around, but it's almost like a blues progression.
Because it's an F hole guitar, it makes its own sound. So you said you were miking the guitar itself, and then you also were miking the amp.
Yeah, I miked the amp,
and it's a very clean sound. It's not distorted or anything.
Yeah, I kind of mixed in the sound of the acoustic, the hollow body. You get the sound of the hollow body, the wood, and the natural sound of that guitar, which has a nice sound, almost.
All right, well, I'm going to suggest we just listen to that right now. Can we isolate that?
Yeah, let's listen to that. We'll hear that track on its own. Yeah.
All right. That sounds amazing. And then the second thing that you added was that crazy slide. And you mentioned that was done on a Dobro?
No, I used the same guitar for the slide because I just dug the sound so much.
So the Dobro never happened?
I didn't use the Dobro. Ah. I started out wanting to use the Dobro. Then once I plugged it in, I just thought it was so unique sound. I'm like, man, this is different, you know?
So what did you change anything in the way you mic'd or amped it? Or did you really literally just pick up a slide?
No, I just grabbed the slide. I put down the one track and then I said, let me put some slide on this and... You know, because I love playing slide, and I just thought it'd be cool for the vibe.
All right, let's hear the two together.
Okay.
Did what I call vamping, vocal vamping, which is Anthony hears when he writes a song, and I'm putting words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but a melody, you're always writing, and so the whole time your fingers are doing something, your brain is trying to come up with vocals. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the melody. I mean, we can come up with tracks all day. Any good guitar player, guys that can compose, it's easy to come up with. Not easy, but you come up with music every day. It just comes out of guys that play guitar all the time that know how to phrase, you know, chords and stuff. But to me, it's like, you know, I'm a songwriter too, so I thought the music was cool.
Yeah.
So I had to get a melody behind it to get a chorus to structure something that would be cool because it had a unique feel with the samba beat or whatever.
Right.
So that's where that all started.
And
I just started scatting a melody. Then a few of the lines you know, which I gave to you, and your genius mind came up with some of those crazy lines where it led to the concept of where we took it.
Mrs. know. Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so the funny thing is, and I don't know if you intended it this way, but the second I heard Mrs. Jones, I was kind of thinking Mrs. Robinson from The Graduate, the movie The Graduate.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a married woman that kind of like came to town and broke hearts and then took off, kind of.
And yeah, and that's what we ended. Yeah,
we ended up with that story, and I was also thinking a little bit, and this might have evolved, but at one point I was kind of thinking of the Little Feat song "Dixie Chicken," and you know, a guy is, you know, has this incredible, what he thinks is an amazing love connection with this woman, and then she leaves, takes all his money and leaves, and then like he goes to a bar to drink away his sorrows, and that incredible line, and it's the amazing hook in the story. It's also the hook in the song. That amazing line is, all the boys at the bar began to sing along. Implying that they all also fell in love with her.
Yeah, yeah.
They all had an affair with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
She broke all their hearts because they began to sing along, "If You'd Be My Dixie Chicken."
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking about that too. And so we had our concept in mind, and well, let's listen a little bit to Anthony sort of vamping vocally, because it turns out that we didn't really change anything in Anthony's melody line. So here's what I first heard.
And everybody knows what's all about. They take you along, they say you scream and shout.
Okay, as you can tell from that, by Anthony sending me that, and I've gotten songs in that condition before from you, Ant, and that's usually you saying, "Hey, Tom, do you like this, and do you want to write lyrics to it?"
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And which is really nice, because to me, well, I don't know, that's sort of our partnership. We've done that probably many songs on Skip the Goodbyes started that way.
Yeah, actually, I thought a lot of those times we got together, we'd write. I remember writing two songs in a night that we just sit here and come up with, you know, but some songs I did send you, and you did. I think Pieces was written like that too. You know,
oh, that's
where
true.
I had a track already too. But
oh yeah, here's Pieces.
Yeah.
I just wanted to play a little bit of that so you could hear sort of, you know, compare and contrast. So the very first thing we did, we came up with vocals and a couple words, you know, trying to tell the story here. And so I just sort of typed into Anthony's computer as he was sort of making the mix sound better. And I put the lyrics in front of Anthony. He sang it, even though we hadn't really discussed it, and it didn't really flow very well. But we put it down just so we had a scratch that was actually English words and not just blah, blah, blah kind of stuff. And here's a little bit of that. And the important thing that I want you to hear here is Anthony's and my singing in the chorus, because from that very, very early stage, we kept those are the tracks that you actually kept in
the
actual
song. Yeah, we kept it, yeah.
Right?
It seems to me you really had to go. You left me waiting at the show. Tickets in my hand, a present hiding just below. They say you never really know.
like keeping stuff raw, man. If it feels good.
That's the thing. That's kind of the magic. Like you do something really, really well the first time, and if you try to improve it sometime, it'll always be different. Sometimes you legit improve it, but what happens is you become used to it and you fall in love with it.
Yeah, like I call that demo-itis, you know.
Demo-itis? when you overdo?
Or like, you know, sometimes you get used to a demo and then you're like, you're trying to beat it and you can't. And then if it feels good, just go with it, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to chase the feel of something you did already.
Right.
Unless you can play it better, there's something that really you can't fix in the computer, then it's meant to just be the way it, you know.
Ah, okay.
The instincts of the first... You know, the first
well, you must know that a lot as a producer and as a studio engineer. And by the way, Anthony, this is his job. He has musicians in here all the time. You're writing with them, you're producing them, you're recording them, just day in, day out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I play several instruments. I play guitar, bass, drums. I started on the drums, and I'm you know, songwriter, so I help people put songs together, make it the best I can be. I help them. I work with singers a lot. I think it's one of my fortes is, you know, producing a good vocal, getting the right performance out of a singer. And, you know, band members, most of the time, if you have a good musician or band, you don't have to do too much. You just help them get a good performance and make sure the parts are great.
You know? What I've noticed is, and I've been here, like back when you and I were working a lot together, sometimes you'd say, "Hey Tom, I have a client coming," meaning, you know, someone who's actually paying the bills, you know, and so I'd have to kind of sit quiet on the couch or chill out for a couple hours while Anthony was like doing some final work with someone. And I kind of noticed, Ant, that they'll arrive with an idea and you sort of shape the entire song. And sometimes you'll play drums, bass, guitar.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just, when you can play a lot of instruments and you do it a lot, once you hear a sketch of a song, everything is in your head how you think it should be. Right. And then a lot of times, like when you're working with somebody else, you want to make sure you stick to the same vision. So I have a deep well of songs in my brain that I could reference to, and I'll Google songs and on YouTube and say, well, I kind of hear this vibe, and I'll search whatever the band or whoever it is we're working on a song and reference to that. And so I'm kind of feeling this kind of vibe, you know, with the stark arrangement or the way that the song could groove or the tempo, whatever, in parts. And I kind of go off of that. Just
yep. And there's some sort of a pure, sort of a 70s sort of natural feel to the stuff that you do in a way.
But I like making organic records. I got a piano in there.
Yeah.
A 1930s Baldwin. I got a drum set up. I got a B3. A lot of great vintage guitar amps.
Well, I've heard definitely like all the way from like dancey pop come out of this studio to, you know, Zeppelin-y 70s sounding Walsh stuff.
I mean, I enjoy it all, and it's all a challenge to me. And I learn stuff off of younger people that come in that might have a song that, whether I like it or not, I'll have to like check out that style. And I'm like, well, that's something I wouldn't do. But I'll always kind of put my twist on it, you know, with my guitar playing or bass. So it has the human element in my stamp a little bit. And that's, I think, what people like to come to me for, you know.
Great. It's amazing that this gem is hidden here in Raritan, New Jersey. People don't have to go all the way to New York, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I wish I was in another city, but it's, you know, I like the vibe here, and it's, you know, the rent's not too bad.
Well,
it's kind of like my living room. It's set up like a living room. I got tapestries up, couches, and it's definitely a loose.
It's beautiful, and I've had some great times here. So then I would call that almost the second stage of throw your line. Right.
Yeah.
And by throw your line,
we went through a few lyrical drafts on that, right?
I mean, you're right.
We the first time we put something down, then we changed some. I think it was actually two rough drafts till we got to the final,
right?
Where we tweaked that story with Mrs. Jones, and we really got into the Mrs. Robinson concept by the third draft.
Well, she definitely came into town and definitely wreaked havoc, and then she needed to escape, right? Mm-hmm. Because she caused so much trouble that then the next thing that she burned her bridges. Really.
Yeah, well, the third verse is my favorite. I think that's you wore out your welcome in this town, left all your bridges burning down. The gossip's flowing, the rumors buzzing all around. You're on your way to higher ground. They try to track you down, but no one gets a line on Mrs. Jones because she's already gone.
That's right.
To the next town. You know?
She took off.
It's definitely a visual.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It'd be a great video for some.
Absolutely. And, you added a lot of more instrumentation and vocals and stuff. Can you isolate? I think it would be cool to hear all the vocals without any music. Could we just isolate the vocals?
Yeah, let's hear all the harmonies. Yeah.
Okay, let's hear the harmonies.
Featuring Tom Marshall on the high part.
We'll try a verse into the chorus with every single vocal. Here it goes.
All right.
It seems to me you really had to go. You left me waiting at the show. Flowers in my hand, a present hiding just below. Would they say you never really know? Well, you said you loved me, but maybe I'd be better off alone. Easy summertime, be free in the sunshine, it's alright. You can stay or fade away into the night.
All right. Well, maybe now, Anthony, we can tell a little bit about the story. As we kept doing different iterations, we got more and more sophisticated, and the story started making a little bit more sense. But it seemed like we started with the thing that you began with, the early concept, the very first line, and we kept it, I think, throughout the whole thing was...
Was it? You really let your hair down, Mrs. Jones.
Really let your hair down, Mrs. Jones. That stayed throughout, and that kind of set the scene for the whole story.
And then we just kind of honed in on how we wanted her character to be described by,
right,
you know.
Right. So I think I'll read. I think I'll read.
The chorus kind of stayed the same. We had the chorus, you know.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So I think the chorus, exactly. The chorus never changed. So I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'll read it the old way and then the new way.
Okay.
Just
cool.
Just to give you a chance to understand what happened there. You really let your hair down, Mrs. Jones. Give the people more of what they want.
Then we changed it to, instead of give the people more what they want, looking like a queen without a throne.
Right, which is much better.
And then
I'll have the car parked in the back now, don't you know?
Then we changed it to, I'll have the car parked out on Hollywood and Vine.
Which has sort of a better sound.
Yeah, it's like, we turned her into like she's like a singer, like a chick that was...
Right.
But then it's don't leave...
What was
the line after that?
Well, so when I said, I'll have the car parked in the back now, don't you know? I was rhyming now off no.
Yeah.
And when we changed it to parked on Hollywood and Vine, now we're rhyming off of Vine.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the rhyme scheme.
Yeah, here's where we sort of diverge a little bit. But so I said, you can't leave me waiting, time to go. And then in the new one, it's don't leave me waiting, now it's time. Right,
which
rhymes with Vine.
Yeah.
And then we said initially, I said, you count alone on love, and if you change your mind, please let me know. Whereas the way it finally wound up with, although the lights went down, they still see you dancing in their minds.
Yeah.
And to me, it's so much better. It paints a picture of sort of a dancer, a performer who's on stage, right?
Yeah.
And now, you know, like I'm the driver kind of, I'm waiting for her.
Who also thought he was going to get with her, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Because then what the next line is...
It seems to me you really had to go. You left me waiting at the show.
That's the same, yeah.
Tickets in my hand, a present hiding just below. What did that become?
Then we turned it into flowers in my hand, a present hiding just below.
They say you never really know.
Yeah. I think we changed it to flowers in my hand instead of tickets because she just put on a show, I guess. She was at a...
Right, maybe the guy having tickets wouldn't make sense if you waited.
Yeah, so we changed it into flowers. The driver wanted to get with this star chick, right?
Yes.
I mean, who probably has been with her already, you know.
Exactly. And then... the initial one was, you said you love me, maybe you'd be better off alone. And what did that turn into?
You said you love me, but maybe I'd be better off alone.
Ah, maybe I'd be better off alone.
Yeah.
So he's sort of thinking like...
She was trying to let him off easy. You know?
All right. And then the third verse, this one really changed. Everybody knows what's going down. You're running lonely all around. You tie the lace up in your hair, not going to sit back in your chair. Somebody loves you, baby. They're going to find you, Mrs. Jones. Whereas, why don't you read the whole thing now?
Yeah, we changed it to, you wore out your welcome in this town, left all your bridges burning down. The gossip's flowing, the rumors buzzing all around. You're on your way to higher ground. They try to track you down, but no one gets a line on Mrs. Jones.
So no one gets a line on Mrs. Jones. It kind of brings back the word line.
Throw your line, yeah.
Yeah, because it's throw your line.
Throw your line, yeah.
Yeah, it brings back the line. So really she's kind of casting her net. She throws her line, she reels them in, and then she lets them go.
Which was kind of based on, like, we were kind of going off the concept of Mrs. Robinson, you know?
I guess so,
Which is a little bit like that. I mean, it's not at all a cop. If you heard the song, you wouldn't think, like, oh, this is like a rip off of...
No,
but lyrically, we did, the concept is
right.
We kind of were thinking that originally,
like kind of like an older married woman and the younger sort of naive guy.
Yeah, and a chick that's just like kind of stealing hearts and you know, going from like a showgirl, you know, just kind of messing with the limo driver, whoever gets in her path, and she'll be on to the next town, you know.
Exactly. Now, I think it's important to play once we had the song a little bit more structured. You got a real percussionist in here named Chuggy.
Yeah, Chuggy Carter played with like Patti LaBelle and a bunch of like Donny Hathaway. I mean, he's a legend, man. He's played on so much, but he's great with Latin percussion.
He's an amazing
guy. I did the original drum track, which is, I was kind of going for like a J.J. Cale, like Lay Down Sally thing, which was cool on one of the demos we'll play. But then once we kind of thought about the Latin thing, I'm like, man, let's bring Chuggy. Once we brought Chuggy in, then I brought in Jim Ruffi to play the Latin drum beat because it takes on this samba thing, which is more interesting. And it's really with the guitar rhythm is kind of doing that anyhow. But I was just kind of going for a J.J. Cale.
Okay, well, let's play Anthony's version where you're playing the drum to the original rhythm track. Right?
Okay, yeah, let's hear
that. All right, here's that.
It seems to me you really had to go.
Okay, and now listen to what it turned into with a real live rhythm player and a different drummer now. Anthony, we've played a lot of components of this. Is it time to play the whole thing, or are we still missing
something?
Well,
the something? Only thing we did add is I put, because the two original guitars that I put down on the dummy track, which ended up staying, was the guitar with the guild. I used the slide and the finger picking thing. Then I ended up adding, after we did the drums and percussion, the only thing I added was a wah guitar and spots.
Right.
And then some Hammond organ.
Oh, beautiful Hammond organ played by our good
John
friend.
John Corba. So that's it. So I don't think we overdid it. I think the rhythm, the guitar and the percussion is like really what it's all about. And the organ's percussive in the background.
Yes.
And the wah guitar is kind of going for like a, just something kind of funky, almost like a different color in there that was only in spots, so I didn't overdo it with the wah guitar. But
we should add that the keyboard player John Corba is also all over our album.
He's a member of Amphibian too. He did all the shows we did. And,
yes.
Oh, he's still in my band too. I love playing with him. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing, and his credentials included being the musical director of Rent on Broadway.
And he played with Hall & Oates.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah.
He still does, right? If they tour, they'll call him.
No, I think he's out of that band. Oh, but
okay.
But yeah, he's just really musical. You know, he's a smart player and good guy. Sings great. Plays great guitar too.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So, you want to hear the full version now?
Okay. So now, ladies and gentlemen, the full version of
"Throw Your Line."
Throw Your Line.
You really let your head down, Mrs. Jones. Looking like a queen without a throne. I have the car parked out on Hollywood and Vine. Don't leave me waiting, now it's time. Although the lights went down, they still see you dancing in their minds. It seems to me you really had to go. Left me waiting at the show. Flowers in my hand, a present hiding just below. But they say you never really know. Well, you said you love me, but maybe I'll be better off alone. Easy summertime.
Welcome to Under the Scales, and this is Tale of Two Songs, Part 2. Anthony and I talked about the song Throw Your Line, and now I'm going to analyze a song that I wrote with another person. However, we are still in Anthony's studio, but this time we have a guest with us, and his name is Cal Kehoe. How are you doing, Cal?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. So the first time I remember actually meeting you when you had a guitar in your hand was I was with my friends Tebow and Scott Herman, and those are the two guys that either one of them or both of them I've probably been to the most Phish shows with. They're my like most traveled wingmen, and we were kind of reliving the old days by the three of us going together, and we did the, you know, the Great Woods and Hartford, and maybe it was just those two. But anyway, we pulled into the lot at Hartford, and I forget if it was like overcast or whatever, but for whatever reason, the lot party wasn't working, even though our supplies were perfect. We had everything we needed, but tempting us to go inside the venue was this incredible music we heard from inside. And so I convinced the guys, let's go in there and just check out under that tent. There's some loud music, and we can probably have as much fun there, if not more. And walking up, there you were. And you were playing, you had a trio, and some good music. I think you were probably playing one of your songs, but you're also adding a little bit of a Yes.
Yeah.
From Fragile. Heart of the Sun.
Heart of the Sunrise.
Heart of the Sunrise.
We had come up with this like crazy medley where it was like my song, Heart of the Sunrise, Oye Como Va, and then into the Franklin's Tower part into Wolfman's Brother.
Wow.
So we had come up with this weird kind of thing, this like broken medley.
And I arrived kind of in the middle of that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You came up, right, because it was very early on, like our sets were probably like an hour and a half long.
Okay.
This was like maybe, you know, 30 minutes in.
Okay.
You came up right after Wolfman's Brother.
And then your dad recognized me too.
Yeah.
And the rest is history, kind of, because, you know, combination of feeling good and chilling with your dad and your mom, and finally meeting you after your set was great. And this rarely happens. And I remember even my friend Tebow, who kind of sometimes protects me, he said, Tom, you gave him your number, and you even said that you'd write a song with him. And that's not something I often would do. Honestly, it's not.
Yeah.
And I think, I told him, dude, relax. He's a young guitarist, and I really liked his stuff. And, he'll probably send me a couple of things, and if they're good and I like them, great. If not, no harm done.
Well, so thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
So that's kind of how we began. Now, how'd you get that gig at Hartford?
You know what? I was actually thinking about this on the way over here. I just drove like 2.5 hours, so I had a lot of time to think about what I'm going to say today. But I was at Phish SPAC. It was 2010. And there was it was the three-night run. It was on the first night, and I happened to end up in the VIP area where you saw me first in Hartford. And it's all the way at the back of the venue, and I see this guy playing, you know, no offense to this guy, I don't know where he is, I don't know what his name is. It was probably like the worst Red Hot Chili Peppers cover I've ever heard on
acoustic
guitar.
That was me.
Oh, that was you? Oh, man. you like this more after I finish.
Oh, right.
But it'd be such a strange connection. So I saw this guy in this VIP thing, and, people are just kind of walking by him, and he's playing, and I see kind of the head of operations there. I introduce myself. I'm talking to him. I'm like, so do you guys have music here regularly? And the guy was like, well, you know, not really, not so much. And I said, I mean, you know, I play guitar and I sing, you know. And he was like, do you want to do this tomorrow and the next night?
Huh.
I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Sure. So we drove back to Connecticut, got the sound system, the acoustic guitar, the electric guitar, drove up.
Was you
or down?
You had a band ready to go, or was it?
This was
just you solo.
This was solo.
Oh, cool.
So yes, there's another part to this. I also do a live looping thing, which is sort of like
Zach Deputy kind of stuff.
Yeah, sort of in the vein of like Zach Deputy, little bit of like Keller Williams stuff, but more up, more towards like. Andrew Bird, some of like KT Tunstall,
okay.
Looping stuff,
yeah.
Reggie Watts.
Yeah.
Those are some of my biggest, inspirations
influences.
In looping. Yeah.
Cool.
Influences, yeah.
Basically, somehow they got your name and that you're willing to play in a VIP tent.
Exactly.
And that's how I found you at Hartford.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was 2010.
But,
the
difference is this, by the time I saw you, you did have a trio. You were a band.
Yeah.
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 And so who are those guys? Are they in your permanent band or are you guys?
So it's kind of a rotating band.
Okay.
Because
you're the Cal Kehoe band, right?
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Okay.
So I do a lot of the solo things by myself, the live looping set.
Right.
And then for shows like that and for shows like, I'm playing Disc Jam on June 8th and then I'm playing at the Acoustic that same night.
So you're doing this music thing pretty seriously.
Yes.
You've plunged in heavily. So that,
it's full time.
So that's from 16 and now you're 22?
21.
21. Okay.
Yeah.
So 5 years you've kind of been ramping up pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think that year, the second year, like 2010 to 2011, I probably did probably like 200 shows then.
Okay.
And then
wow.
I do it. Yeah. It's more and more every year.
That's amazing. So like being a, up and coming guitarist, songwriter, person who plays venues and cool things like that. So you try to open for people, but you are also, kind of ballsy and you ask the Phish songwriter to write a song with you. Right?
Well, I remember I said, I'm going into this. When I met you, I was like, I'm going to the studio in the fall.
Right.
I said, you need lyrics?
Right.
It's like, yeah.
So then what transpired is Cal sent me a couple of attempts. So, and that's kind of how I expected it to happen. I thought maybe, if I formed a connection as a fan of Cal's just by listening to him and watching him. He's a great guitarist. You guys should check him out when you can. But also, my songwriting collaboration has to hit everything correctly for me to be interested in it. And I thought I would know pretty much right away. And Cal sent me a couple of things and they didn't really connect with me. And in fact, one kind of we were just talking about it off mic, a little bit humorous was, I probably asked you like, what the hell's going on in this song? Cause I didn't get it. Now some songs, you understand right away, like an easy Beatles song, right?
Yeah.
You understand what's going on and you're like, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. I get it. It's an easy song. Cal's song, I thought the 3 was happening where the 1 is or vice versa. And I couldn't find the 1. I didn't know how to count this song. I thought he started it. He didn't give me the beginning of the song and I was starting it partway in. We'll be right back. And so I asked Cal, I need training wheels on this one. Because I kind of liked it. It seemed interesting. But I couldn't wrap my head around it. And even with Cal counting, you know, helpfully counting me in, I couldn't do anything with it. And so I was just like, all right, this is now the third, I think, attempt. Cal's probably going to lose patience with me, and we're probably not going to write together. And, you know, I was glad that you kept persisting.
Yeah.
That was cool, and you didn't lose patience with me.
I think it was 6 months of emails until we got something.
Right. Well, you kept trying, and you probably at some part of your brain was thinking, like, shit, maybe I'm bothering this guy or whatever too, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Right. But like I said, you kept trying.
It was once a month.
Yeah.
I hit you with something. Yeah.
You didn't do too much. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Maybe too much would have been a block, an email block. So
I would hope not.
So anyway, you know, and frankly, you and I didn't really know each other, right? Just from meeting a couple times at most. So finally, Cal, you know, often what I was hoping for is either musically, like the two scenarios are something musically turns on an idea in my head. That's one way, and that didn't happen so far with Cal's stuff. And then the other is that I have lyrics that really need to get out, and that's just, you have to hit me at the right time, and that didn't happen either, because if that happens, I can almost put them onto anything. You know, I can, at least we can get a song started. And so that wasn't really happening either. So I was sort of, you know, losing hope in our songwriting future until you told me about a song that was influenced by Stranger Things, the TV show. And I was like, okay, dude, I can do something with that because I like that. And I think I asked you, are there lyrics? And you said, well, there's one word. And what was the word?
It was limbo.
Limbo. And then I was like, okay, yes, I can do something. So as long as it's only one word and it's about Stranger Things and there was no other parameters, my brain then did start working. And I don't think I'd heard the song yet, but by the time I got it, I had already sort of gone through a couple of iterations.
Yeah.
Now, anything you want to add to that?
Well, the thing is, I've had that limbo. I was explaining to you before, you know, off mic too. With all these Live Nation VIP things, I did, like, you know, I did Hartford and I did SPAC, and I was asked to do like Syracuse and Darien Lake, and then that kind of bled over to House of Blues in Boston. So I've done a lot of shows there, and it's they're all really awesome venues. I've gotten really close with all those people, but the thing that's so funny about all of this is that I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't gone to Fish SPAC in 2010 and just went up and asked, hey, can I play at this place?
Right. So that opened a lot of doors for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if there's a message there for musicians, it's to, you got to try everything.
Exactly.
Okay. Is that what you wanted to get across?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's really cool.
And also just the kind of thank you and Fish, you know, for that. So that's pretty awesome.
Thank Fish. And you're welcome on my behalf and by extension on Fish's behalf, I hope.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to do that. extend their welcome to you. All right. So where were we on Limbo? I forget if it happened in, what steps it happened in. You told me you were about to send me a song named Limbo based on Stranger Things, and then you sent me this guitar piece.
Yeah that's basically what happened.
Okay. And here it is. Let's check it out. Three instruments there, and you're playing two of them. Who's on the other, and what's the instrumentation there?
So it's guitar, bass, drums. I'm on guitar and bass, and it's a very famous drummer named Logic Pro X.
He's great. Yeah. Do you happen to know which one it was? They have names, actually.
Yeah, I think. Oh, yeah, they do have names. I think it might have been like, oh man, what was it? Yeah, yeah, something. Austin.
Some cool drummer name. Yeah.
I think it was Jake.
Jake.
I think it
might have been drummer Jake.
Yeah, Jake.
Hey, I know a drummer Jake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, drummer Jake.
McLovin's Jake, but it wasn't him. It was the Logic drummer. Cool. Yeah. So that song that you heard, I experimented with a verse, and I sent it back to you. I ping-ponged it back to you. And let's hear that really quick.
Yeah.
We're spreading thoughts out into space. We're brushing moments off our plates. A swiftly tilting world like ours is pulled through space by distant stars. Worlds come loose across the globe. The axis breaks, we start to roll. Chaos reigns when this occurs. So keep your balance, watch your words. When I drive, I'm flipping station to station, and all I say keeps getting lost in translation. Wheels start to shake and the road gets rough. No matter what I take, you know it's not enough.
Okay, so an early take is me doing two voices in the verses and then an attempt at the chorus there.
Yeah.
And I will say that a lot of that stayed through to the very end. The words of the verses stayed through pretty much. Mm-hmm. We did a couple changes in the words in the chorus, and that has to do with, I believe it was a song that I also wrote in this studio for the McLovins, where I think that Lost in Translation, it sounded a little bit too much like another line I had used, but I didn't realize it at the time because I was just sort of coming up, you know, writing stuff down.
It was a very late night email.
Yeah.
Like, wait. Hold on. This is a new version.
Yeah.
I am plagiarizing myself.
Yes.
You know?
And so okay, right. So then, was that just that verse and that chorus?
Yeah. There was so basically the way it is like there's, you know, there's a long intro, there's the verse, and then what I thought was the pre-chorus.
Right.
And then there's the chorus, which you'll hear, which I added very late in the game, which is what the chant was, basically.
Okay, right. You and I always called it different things. Like, you called I called the chorus the pre-chorus, and you called the limbo chant the chorus.
Yeah.
All right.
just to be, you know, you called it the boring part, which I... Yeah. And I loved that you were like, every time I'd send it back to you, you'd be like, do you think you could fill some like guitar there or something?
Put something else in the boring part.
And I think what I wanted to do was just like to see how, I wanted to see if you could put something there. Because I was like, you know, maybe my idea is just kind of like this silly chant, you know? It's like, what is this?
So, all right, let's hear the limbo, the original limbo as I received it, which is what you call the chorus. Let's hear that now.
Okay.
So. It's not enough, 'cause I'm in limbo. Limbo.
So after I sent you that first verse into the pre-chorus, and now I'm using your terminology, you probably sent me an email back saying, Tom, this is cool. Let's keep moving. Yeah. Right. And that spurred me on. That enthusiasm was what I was looking for. And it, allowed me to finish kind of my train of thought. And it included, a part two, right? The ending.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like the big climax. Let's hear my version of that ending.
Okay.
say you've seen stranger things. Out here angels don't have wings. I'm spinning lonely on a stone. Is it too much to be alone? You say you've seen stranger things. Out here angels don't have wings. I'm spinning lonely on a stone. It's not enough to be alone.
All right, so theoretically at that point, Cal, my job was done, right?
Yeah.
So now we move into another phase of the song, and this is when you kind of took it and you start sanding off the rough edges, polishing it a little bit, and you engage the help of a cool studio in Connecticut that I actually have been in before.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a funny story with that. So I was up very late at night, you know, it was probably like 3 a.m. I was just kind of looking around because Tom and I were like, okay, so what are we going to do with this now? And, you know, I had more songs to record as well. And this just came up out of nowhere. And I'm from Fairfield County, Connecticut, you know. Right. So there's a town called Bridgeport there. And I saw this studio online. It was called Tarkin Studios. And the guy that owns it is named Peter Cadis. And he has done all of the Nationals records. I believe he did, Kurt Vile, a little bit of San Fermin, some local native stuff. But he also did another album called Traveler by Trey. So I was there, and I didn't know that. So I'd got to the studio just to check it out to see if we were going to record there. And I pick up the album Traveler, and I was like, what is this? And I open it up. And it says Tom Marshall, you know, all the credits. It says Tom Marshall, key. So, you know, it was like Trey Anastasio, guitar. You know, other people, you know, bass, drums, blah, blah, blah. And then it said Tom Marshall, key. And then I found out that they had recorded that album there.
And I played one key.
You played key.
In one song. I actually pressed, it was a keyboard that they plugged in. It was like sitting on its side, like in storage mode. And Peter said, this needs this. Like, Trey wanted one, like, a Hammond organ thing, and Peter looked around, and I think it was in the song, is it in the song Traveler?
Yeah, I think it was in the song Traveler.
Okay. Toward the end of the song, this jam sort of picks up, and you hear this one key pressed, and that's me doing it. Thank you. Thank you, Trey, for that. But coincidence that you wound up there.
Yeah.
And so now you took this song, or are you doing your whole album there?
So I took this song and actually two others. Basically, it's just an EP for right now.
Oh, okay.
So it's this song, a song called Maryland, which actually has a whole other story.
Right.
With you and I and some other friends.
Yeah.
And then a song called Rocky. So we did those songs there.
And so the EP will have three songs?
Yeah, three. We're kind of thinking about recording a fourth one, but okay. I think it's just going to be three. Okay. We're going to release it kind of gradually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So then let's hear what that sounded like when I heard it next. And this is, you know, maybe a month afterwards possibly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we told you we were going to go in the studio and... Yeah, this is kind of what came out of it.
Yeah, so it came back, and it's now sonically different.
Yeah. Keep your balance, watch your move. When I drive up, flipping station to station.
Cause I'm in limbo. Cause I'm in limbo.
okay, so obviously some major changes to the music itself. Now, were you always intending to allow me to sing on it? Was that part of your goal, or you just hadn't done vocals yet?
Well, yeah, well, basically, when you sent that first demo over, I said, this is so Bowie-esque,
And it even says station to station.
Exactly. And I loved it so much. And I was like, you know, I think I emailed you and I was like, this has to be like a Cal Tom duet. And you were like, well, and I was like, no, come on, we got to do this. It sounds awesome. You know, because you sent it with two tracks of vocals.
Yes.
You know, I think there was a low main vocal and then like a higher harmony in the background.
Right.
So it was always my intention.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, thank you. That harmony style was my like Nickelback attempt, because normally like I'll sing the melody and then a fifth above it, whereas this was like below it, you know, and that's like why Nickelback's vocals sound so awesome, is because there's a guy doing a close harmony right below.
Yeah.
And it worked for this one.
Yeah.
It works for ABBA too, by the way. Those two women sing such a close.
Oh, I'm just really glad that ABBA and Nickelback are mentioned right now. This is in the songwriting process.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So,
we need some credit.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Cal, before we play the final version, you kind of put a couple iterations of this out into the world, sort of, which is kind of goes counter to my method. I don't like anyone hearing it until I'm done and I'm ready to release it. However, you tried this new kind of concept. What was that again?
Yeah, so there's this site called AudioKite that I started using a couple years ago, which is now called Crowd Reviews, and the site Reverb Nation bought it. So if you go on reverbnation.com, you'll find Crowd Reviews, and there's like this songwriting analysis thing. So basically what you do is you upload this song and there's anonymous objective reviews that come through, like ratings and written reviews.
Do you dumb it down at all so like no one can rip it off, or do you just put up what you currently have?
Well, so you can basically do it from like, you could just do it like you and an acoustic guitar, like the demo,
okay.
Or like, you know, kind of like the first mix in the studio. But yeah, so I put this on. This was probably like the demo where we realized, like, yeah, okay, this is like a finished song. We're going to go into the studio. So I put it under a pseudonym because that's what I like to do. And I like to put it as my real name. So I put The Flux Capacitors.
That's the name of the band?
It's the name of the band. And so I put it through. And one of my favorite reviews that I'll read now it's a long review, but it says, "This song holds the key to saving the planet." So I thought you might like to hear that.
Oh,
so,
that's great. That's great.
So yeah, so this, you know, Dave Marcello and Alex Mitchell kind of run they run this site, and it's pretty awesome. I think it's great for songwriters.
I'm imagining that you read the one good review and the rest were just like,
no, they're all pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're all pretty awesome. I'll show them to you.
So now do you, in turn, be a good internet, steward or whatever you might want to call it, and go and review other people's music on there? You have to.
No.
You got to pay it forward.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I should. But no, I haven't done that.
You have to.
Yeah, I know. Now I have to. It's like service work. Yeah.
Karma. It's karma.
So, but yeah, so that's Crowd Reviews. They're cool. Pretty awesome. I use it in a lot of stuff. I use it on the other songs that are on the EP as well.
Then you decided to come to Ants, where we are right now.
Yeah.
And do all the vocals.
Yeah.
Did you add guitars in Ants studio at all, or was it just vocals?
Yes. There was it was very kind of winding down, end of the day kind of thing.
Yeah.
We were just like, let's just rip a quick guitar solo on here.
Yes.
And I think I did one, and I was like, oh, no, I don't know if this is a good idea. And then I just got this kind of like, they had Anthony and Tom's voice in my headphones. And Tom was like, please don't do another one. We're keeping that one. Because you said it reminded you of kind of like a Frippian kind of.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And then I like insisted on doing 10 more or something like that, and you were like, look, I really like take one.
what wound up in there?
It's like a mix of all of them.
Okay. All right, so we're very close to playing the final one.
Yeah, I mean, the so basically, what we ended up doing was doing the basic tracking at Tarkin, which has me on guitar and bass, and then I had Rob Allen from the band Augustines come in from Queens, New York, and then a keyboard player named Kit Carlson.
What did Rob play?
Rob played the drums.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of keyboard layers.
Yeah.
Additional, you know, crazy fuzzed out guitars.
Yeah.
You, me, and Anthony's voice.
Yes.
So yeah. And then we recorded all the additional vocals at Sonic Boom.
Okay.
At Anthony's place. Right. So yeah.
Right. So then you took that and did some final polishing to the song that we have today.
Yeah.
Which we're going to play right now.
Yeah.
You said there was a key change, though.
So, yeah, there was a key change because Tom sent over, you know, the final verse, all the verses and all the choruses were done. You sent it over, and I was like, I should try to sing on this one. Maybe one. I'll send it over to Tom. And I realized I couldn't sing in your register.
Ah.
You know, because you're a little bit taller than me.
Taller. My register was lower, obviously.
Lower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So the thing that's interesting is, like, I don't know why that works, but it was just like so low, and I just couldn't do it. So I had to sing it an octave up.
Oh, wow.
And then I realized
that's too high.
This is too high.
Right.
So all I did was change it down one, you know, I brought it down a half a step.
So you did do the octave, but you then brought that down.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though you needed to sing it higher, you brought it down, which is counterintuitive, but I get it. That's
and
cool.
Then there was a whole like thing when we got to the studio, you were like, oh wait, there's a key change. So then it's different. Your harmony to the main vocal the main melody line is different. It's a different harmony.
You'd think that relatively wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have like muscle memory, like you've sang something so many times that key change like mentally subtly screws with you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't come up with my harmony anymore. It didn't quite work. And that's when Anthony actually put on his producing hat. He's great at producing vocals.
Yeah.
And kind of, honestly, I think pretty much took me through it. You and Anthony kind of coached me through it line by line.
Yeah.
And that's how we built the final song.
It's pretty awesome how I think everyone that had kind of their hand in the pie on this song was like really brought it to life to this big thing now.
You know?
Just starting from you adding all of the crazy good vocal chops at the beginning, and then you know, Rob Allen on the drums, and then Greg Giorgio kind of being like the, you know, mastermind of kind of like the soundscape, and then Anthony added kind of this, there's like kind of ghostly backup vocals too on that limbo chorus.
Yes.
So it's pretty cool.
I think that's great.
It's a big song.
Yeah, well, I was really pleased to be able to be involved with it and our first songwriting together.
Yeah.
Cal, let's hope there's many more.
Absolutely.
And now for the audience, we'd like to play the entire version of Limbo by the Cal Kehoe Band. Correct? Or just Cal Kehoe?
Cal Kehoe.
All right. Now
Cal Kehoe with Tom Marshall.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sure. That works. All right. Here it goes.
Out into space, the brushing moments off our plates, a swiftly tilting world like ours is pulled through space by distant stars. Words come loose across the globe, the axis breaks, we start to roll. A chaos reigns when this occurs, so keep your balance, watch your words. When I drive, I'm flipping stations. Cause I'm in limbo. Just across the line, a single moment.
Hey, so there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this Tale of Two Songs episode, my first foray into detailed song analysis. I was really happy and proud of both songs and the way they came out, and also, of course, enjoyed creating them. It was fun to feature two co-writers other than Trey for a change. Anthony Crizon and Cal Kehoe, I think you can tell, are really, really warm, exceptional people who also happen to be incredible musicians, so I'm lucky to know both of them. Now, as it turns out, you can meet the two of them and see and hear them perform at the same time at a Phish after show. So on July 25th in New York on Times Square, there is a club called The Iridium. It's a famous jazz club, really. Trey and Les Paul have both played there. Ant and Cal have put together a band they're calling the Amphibian All-Stars because several members of the band were in my band, Amphibian. So after the Phish concert on Tuesday, July 25th, walk 20 blocks uptown. It's the easy short blocks. And the band will start exactly at midnight to keep the party going. I'll be there, possibly recording fan discussions for Under the Scales. I will also jump on stage if the band calls me up for a song or two. You'd better get tickets now. It's a very small club. Go to theiridium.com, spelled the, T-H-E, iridium, I-R-I-D-I-U-M.com. Three I's in iridium. Who knew? I'll be back next week with more Under the Scales.